Good evening. It's a pleasure to be able to stand in a position where great men in time past have stood to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel honored to be a part of this summer series where we, as the brother in the congregation, are able to apply what we have learned. Also, thank you for the leadership for giving us opportunity to choose from great words from our word study. I have chose the word independence. On the eve of Independence Day, today is the third, tomorrow will be the fourth, which is the birthday of these United States of America. Now, tomorrow represents the time when the 13 colonies separated from the British rule. We call it Independence Day. Back in July 4th, 1776, they broke away from the British because they were unfair for charging them overpaying taxes, and they were not allowing them to vote and things of that nature. So they wrote this document called the Declaration of Independence. And it's a very eloquent written document. And I decided to just take a little portion and use it as a springboard to dive into my lesson. Amen. So Thomas Jefferson wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, Christ gives us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Christ, and without Christ, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, what we had to do first, when we talk about life, we got to talk about light, because that was the first thing that God spoke into existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, God said, "Let there be light." Now, if you look at light, you look at the sun, the light gives off energy, right? Which causes the earth to rotate around it. Now, without this sun, without this light, there will not be any plants. Without this sun, there will not be any, and if there's no plants, there will be no animals to eat the plants. And without the plants, there won't be any animals to eat that. So that without the animals, there won't be any food to sustain man. So that's why God made it in that order. Mm-hmm. Now, spiritually speaking, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Mm-hmm. I'm the energy. The world rotates around me. Now, speaking of plants, I'm the vine. Ye the branches. If you don't abide in me, you should not bear fruit. When it comes to food, I'm the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse number 35. You get a taste of this bread, you shall never hunger again. John chapter 4, he said, "I am the living water. If you drink some of this water, you shall never thirst." As a matter of fact, in John chapter 4, verse number 28, there was a Samaritan woman at the well. She came down with her bucket. She came to get some water. Jesus gave her some living water. She left her bucket at the well and she went on about her business. She forgot she was thirsty because Jesus filled her up with living water. Yes, sir. Jesus is life. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The world saw for the first time love that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time peace that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time joy that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time long-suffering that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time gentleness that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time goodness that it never seen before. The world saw for the first time faith that it never seen before. It saw meekness that it never seen before. It actually saw temperance, self-control. A man was self-sacrificing self that the world never seen before. Light shining in darkness, and darkness never seen it before. In him was life. It shined in darkness. The darkness never seen before that they couldn't even comprehend it. In John chapter 3, verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil and they didn't want them discovered. John chapter 10, verse number 10. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Not no mediocre life. Not no life of just getting by and moseying along through life. I come that you might have life, an abundant life. Matter of fact, go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17. Read that for me, John. That he might dwell in your heart by faith. Go ahead.
They be able to comprehend with all saints
the breadth,
the breadth and length
and the depth and the height. Go ahead.
And to know the love of Christ with past knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes, sir.
Now unto him that is able
to do exceedingly
and abundantly
above all that we do ask and even the things that you even think. He's able to do more than that. Christ is life. That's it. You can stop right there. Christ is life. Let his mind be in you. Philippians 2, verse number 5. Let his word be in you. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Let his suffering be in you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. Christ is life. Also, Christ is liberty. Now, in the 17th century, they call this the dark age of the United States history, because this was the time when the country built the country off of slaves. They say this is a dark age of American history. As a matter of fact, in 1839, there was a boat, it was a Spanish ship named Amistad. Now, this passage, they went and they stole men from Africa, and they went into Africa, unjustly stole men, took them to Cuba. They did evil trading amongst the men, and then what they did, they started to sell more slaves. They made their way in the ocean. The slaves overtook them, and they overpowered them, told them, take us back home to Africa. So what happened then? Make a long story short, they tricked them because the Africans didn't know nothing about selling and anything like that. So they made their way toward New York. New York said, we don't deal with slaves. They went down to Connecticut and they had a trial there. Now this is my point. You can study on your own time. This is my point. I don't know if you've seen, they had brought a movie out about this. Now in this movie, when they was at the trial, you had the judge and the jury, and you had the plaintiff and the defendant. They were all there, and they was delegating. One slave, he didn't know much English, but he stood up, and he said, give us free. Everybody was looking around. He said, give us free. This man was chained. They separated me from my family. They separated me from my kids. Give us free. He kept saying it. I'm watching. I got tears rolling down my face. He said, give us free. Well, in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden. Man became slaves to sin. God said in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, I got an answer for it. I'm going to send a seed of woman to give us free. He said, I'm going to put enmity between the seed of woman and Satan. He sent Jesus, who was the middleman between man and God. There was only one God, one middleman, the man Jesus Christ. Being a form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, took upon the form of a servant to give us free. Jesus came down to earth, chose 12 friends to help give us free. Those 12 friends witnessed that the miracles that he did. This is the Messiah that was promised to us to give us free. Jesus looked his face toward Calvary. He walked toward Calvary. On that walk, he was spit on. He was abused. They put a crown of thorns on his head to give us free. Jesus got on that cross. They nailed him down by his hands and his feet to give us free. Jesus hung on that cross. He looked up. He said, Lord, God is finished. He died to give us free. And then it didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave to get us free. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, he said, go ye, he told those 12, into all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to get us free. Peter took it literally. Acts chapter 2, he said, went right before those Jews, let all the house of Israel know surely that the same Jesus when you crucified, God has made Lord in Christ to give us free. Yes. Amen. He said, they were pricking their heart. Men and brothers, what shall we do to get us free? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Man went down a slave, but he came up free. The chains were broken. Christ gave us liberty. The chains were broken. Those bondage of sin was let loose. He gave us liberty. We're not chained by the body of this death. As a matter of fact, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, and it was made weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because carnally minded is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither then can be. For they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. My brothers and sisters, we're debtors, not to the flesh to live to the flesh. He that liveth to the flesh shall die. But he that through the Spirit do mortify the deeds that are done in the body, he shall live. As many as are led by the flesh, led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are not slaves anymore. They're the sons of God. Amen. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 14. Christ gave us life. Christ gave us liberty. Read Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4. They were once enlightened, go ahead. They have tasted of the heavenly gifts. They were made part, listen, they tasted it. They were made partakers of the heavenly ghost, of the Holy Ghost. And what else? And have tasted. They see all they tasted the word of God. Listen to me, stop right there. We are sitting at the master's table. We're not slaves anymore. He actually put a table and a spread of food in front of us that we can sit at and partake of the master's food. Yes, sir. We're not slaves any longer. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 15, when Israel, God gave them food from heaven. They ain't have food like we have, man, tampered with, put preservatives on it to make sure it's, they have food cleanly from heaven. In Numbers chapter 11, verse number 5, they had a taste for slave food. They wanted garlic. They wanted onions, cucumbers.
Yes, sir.
See, listen, God gave us a table full of food. He gave us filet mignon. He gave us steaks. He gave us lobster. But you know what? A lot of us got a taste for slave food. A lot of us got a taste for some chitlins. A lot of us got a taste for some hog maws. They lay looking at me in the back. Don't be talking about my hog moats now. A lot of us got a taste for slave food. After we sitting at the master's table, we want to eat slave. Listen, let me ask you a question. That slave that was at that corner, he said, give us free. He was chained up. Give us free. I can't imagine him being free. He's been able to have freedom, do what he want to do, get back, rectify with his family, and then him get to the point where, you know what, I'm going to go back to putting these chains on. I'm going to go back to putting the chains on. You know what, I'm going to go back in the field to pick cotton. I'm going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and take my shirt off so the master can beat on me. Why do us as Christians want have the desire to go back and serve sin? I don't understand. Christ has given us liberty. Why we want to go back out and taste the fruits of sin? I'm preaching now. Why do we have a desire to do that? After having the gifts and sitting at the master table to spread, we desire to put them chains back on me. Put them back on me. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Yes, sir.
I remember sometime up here leading song. I'm singing because Christ gave me life. I'm singing hard because Christ gave me liberty. And I look out in the audience, people looking like slaves. They singing all, here I labor and toil as I look for home. There's a home. Like we're on a chain game. Look, Christ gave us life. He gave us liberty. Let's get excited about what Christ has done for us. I sit at the master's table. What about you? Christ gave us life. Christ gave us liberty. Now we have the pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told thee. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come again and accept you unto myself, that where I be, you should be also. Look, Paul said, I have fought the good fight, which means he battled along this pursuit of happiness. I have finished my course, which means he ran. I finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. He hold on to it. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He pursued happiness. Talk with me to Joshua chapter 1. We must pursue. See, this is where I want to. I'm glad to see my time ain't run out. I had to get through. This is where my application come in there. This is where application. I want to give you principle. Now I want to come to application. Joshua chapter 1. Now, read that for me, brother, when you get there. Verse number 1. All right, now stop right there. Now we know Moses. God promised to him that he'll, you know, through God's work, that he freed Israel out of slavery. Now we know the story. Israel wanted to go back into slavery and things of that nature. So there was one time when they crossed the Red Sea and they had 12 spies go out into spy out the land of Canaan, the land that Joshua was getting ready to go into. Now we know what happened. 10 went over there and said, you know what? We can't do it. We are like grasshoppers in our eyes. 2 went over there and said, we can do it. That's disunity. That's disunity in the body. Some believe, Joshua and Caleb, the rest didn't. That's disunity. You know what God did? He made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. For their disunity, for their unbelief. Joshua and Caleb were innocent. They had to wander innocently for 40 years. Now let me think of a scenario that can fit this, hypothetically speaking. All right, I got one. Let's say that we got the younger sisters in our congregation. They looking and they, you know, honestly trying to learn how to be a good wife. They're struggling with it. They're trying to learn how to be good parents. Then we got the older sisters over here. They fighting with each other. They spitting on each other, hitting each other. Please don't tell me. I really hope not that the younger sisters, they want you, but the older sisters don't. Please don't tell me that they have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness of sin due to the disunity in the body of Christ. Please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that the younger sisters have to wait in order to get the happiness and the bond of peace for the older sisters to die out. Please don't tell me that. God forbid. In order to get to the promised land, we need unity. Yeah. We need unity. Don't that make sense? Amen. Let me show you. Go to Joshua chapter 4. Read 1 through 6. Let me show you what I mean. Well, let me read it. Let me read. And it came to pass when all the people were clean. So listen. God told them to go across. They went across. They made it into the promised land. And it came to pass when all the people were clean across over Jordan that the Lord had spoken to Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men, God told him, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, one man. So it's 12 tribes. Take ye one man, Judah, Levi, Benjamin, 12 men out of every tribe. And command ye, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you and lead them in a lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children. Now just think about it. It's a couple million people. 12 men represented the whole tribe, the whole people of God. Now, Joshua prepared the men, verse number 5. And Joshua said to them, pass over the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, take up ye every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask their father in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Now listen to me. They had 12 men. You want to know what that symbolized? Unity. Everybody was on one accord. Every man, every tribe, each one of them was represented by these 12 men. And then in time to come, the children know that was unity. They got the 12 stones. Let me ask you a question. The things that you do today on a regular basis for the Lord, are you doing them for yourself, or are you doing them to teach the younger how to do it? So they can be unity. We can see it. We can learn it. We can understand it by looking at your stones, your work that you're doing. What reason are you doing what you're doing? Is it for unity, or is it because you're doing it because you want to do it? You're doing it because it makes you look good. Doing it because it makes you look pretty. What's the reason why we're doing it, what we're doing? We need unity. We need unity. Now, God wanted us all to be one. This unity stifles the congregation. Also, sin does. Sin stifles. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Read verse number 1. Read 27, 6, 27, so we can get to the flow. Go ahead. Read verse number 27 of chapter 6. So the Lord, what? Go back one verse. 27, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was known.
So everybody excited. Now go ahead and read verse number 7. Verse number 1. Go ahead.
The children of Israel committed
The children of Israel did.
In the accursed thing
for Achan, the son of Carmel. So listen, one man sinned in the camp. The scripture said the children of Israel did. When there is disunity between one and two brothers, when there is sin between one and two brothers, all of us guilty. You remember Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3? Jesus said to the seven churches, I know your works. I know your works. I know your, he didn't say ones in particular. He said the church, I know your works. I know your works. I know your works. I know your works. He got to the third chapter to lay out to see, I know your works, that you neither hot nor cold. I wish that you'd be hot on fire for me, or either cold, but you're in the middle. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. As a body of Christ, we all together. As a matter of fact, let me prove that. Read chapter 7, verse number 19.
And Joshua said unto Achan,
Achan, go ahead.
Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confessions unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done.
All right, let me. All right, now let me pick it up. Because I got to speed this up a little bit. I don't have much time committed right now. I got a lot to say. All right. Hide it not from it. Verse number 21. Achan admits. Verse number 20. He says, indeed, I have sinned against the God of Israel. Verse number 21. When I saw the Babylonian's goodness, I saw all the spoils of slavery and all those things. 200 shekels of silver. Wares of gold. 50 shekels of weight. I coveted them. Took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth under my tent. And Joshua and all Israel took the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wares of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them before the... Listen, they took everything about this man. They stoned him, and they set him on fire. All of them, his daughter, everybody. They didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, this is the question. Well, this is the answer. Sin got to get out. Sin got to get out of the camp. That's an example of church discipline. That's an example right there. Sin got to go. God will not behold. His eyes are too precious to behold evil. Sin got to go. I know people looking like, Montreal, you stepping on people's toes. You trying? I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm aiming for the heart. Because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. I'm aiming for the heart. I don't want to step on no toes. Right? Hey, that's what they paid me. They ain't talking about them. I'm talking about God. Spiritual blessing. They paid me for doing this. I remember when I was little. My grandma used to spank my butt. She used to take wars. I was little then, but then I got big. I got taller than her. Then she'll spank me. I look back. I laugh. Oh, it hurt. She said, I'll be right back. Look, she went and grabbed a stick. Come on. Come on. I was like, oh, hold. See, I highly recommend when a man ain't listening, when a man want to be in sin, elders keep telling you time and time again to do something. When the sisters don't want to get it together, I highly recommend the elders pull out their stick. Pull that stick out. The rod of correction. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. What did he say? He said, I noticed that a man took his father's wife, he committed fornication with her. What do you do? I pull that stick out. What you do? I deliver him to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. That's church discipline. I recommend elders pull that stick out. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 19 and 20. He said, hold in faith, he told Timothy, and of a good conscience, what some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom was Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's church discipline. I recommend the elders pull their stick out. It got to go. Sin got to go. I refuse to raise my son around sin. Right? It got to go. It got to go. You remember that wild olive tree? Romans chapter 11. He said, I'm cutting them off. Y'all acting crazy? I'm cutting you off. That's church discipline. Read verse number 13, chapter 7.
Back in Joshua.
Back in Joshua, chapter 7, verse number 13.
Up sanctify the people and say, sanctify.
He said what? Do what?
Up sanctify the people. And say, sanctify.
Clean them.
Yourselves against tomorrow.
Listen to me. You stop right there. God says, sanctify the people. Clean them. God want a sanctified church. How are we going to bring people in the world into a situation that is full of darkness and all? He want to sanctify people so that they can come out of sin and they can be in marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
They can walk in fellowship among us. They can be in fellowship with God. They can actually see God through us. Not through all our hatred and all our backstabbing and all our hating each other. And all. You can't see God in that. Christ gave us life. He gave us liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we got to be unified.
We got to be unified. I'm begging for unification. Unify. Let's unite as a church family. Can we do that? Can we do that? Listen, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 2. No, you can read verse number 1. Go ahead. Beseech you. That's what I'm doing. I beseech you. I'm right now, I'm in tears beseeching you. Beseeching you to do it. Go ahead.
That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Mm-hmm. With all lowliness.
Right.
And meekness and long suffering. Forbearing one another.
Forbearing one another. Can you do that? Meekness, long suffering for your brother. Can you forbear one another? Can you do that? Go ahead.
In love.
In love.
Endeavor to keep the unity.
Keep the unity. I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you, my brothers and sisters, to keep the unity. Christ gave us life. He gave us liberty. We're excited. We got to keep the unity. Go ahead.
In the bonds of peace,
mm-hmm.
there is one body,
yep.
one spirit,
yep.
even as ye are called,
yep.
and one hope of your calling,
yep.
one Lord,
yep.
one faith,
yep.
one baptism,
yep.
one God,
yep.
and Father.
What?
And Father.
What else? You want to know what all of one mean? Unity. That's what it is. Unity. That's what all of one's. Unity. Now go ahead and read verse number 16. No, go read 15 and 16. Go ahead.
But speak the truth and love may grow up into him.
Mm-hmm.
And all things which is the head, even Christ.
Mm-hmm.
From whom the whole body fittingly joined together.
Mm-hmm.
And compacted by the which.
Mm-hmm.
Every joint.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. effectual mm-hmm. working in the measure of every part making increase of the body unto the edifying.
I'm going to explain what that means. That means, just like the other day, I bumped my knee, right? I bumped my knee, and it would hurt, and I took this hand and I rubbed it. And my eyes, my eyes sympathized because they started crying. See, everything connected. That's what that means. It's unity in the body. It's all connected. We got to be unified. Unity. The body got to be unified. Go to 2 Timothy 2, verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. Yes, sir.
But in a great house,
mm-hmm.
there are not only vessels of gold and of silver,
mm-hmm.
but also of wood,
mm-hmm.
and of earth, and of some to honor. And
now listen to me. Listen, there are in the body, there are different talents. Matter of fact, you know, I work in and do a little construction. Like, let me ask you a question, ladies. What would you prefer in your house? What's the best? Most ladies say the best place in their house is the kitchen, right? Yeah. I mean, you can give me the kitchen, I'm good. You don't need nothing else, right? So you go ahead and go in that kitchen, and you chop up the tomatoes, and you do all your cooking, and all your ribs and all that. You eat your food, but your stomach starts grumbling. You got to go to the restroom. You need that. You need the restroom. I know that's dishonor. You know, it stinks in there. It's the toilet in there. Folks don't like the toilet. You better use that toilet, because you will die if you don't. You need everything in the house of God. You need everybody. Paul said, these things write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how thou ought to obey thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of the truth. You need it all. Need everybody. Nobody is not important. Everybody in here is important. Everybody. Everybody's important. What I look like saying, you know, well, I'm not, I'm going to say it to this way. If a man have a stroke, the whole left side shut down. We all connected. If one man is hurt, one man is in sin, it affects us all. How can I say, I'm not, my brain tell, I'm not listening to nothing that come out of their ear. Look, you can hear sirens. I'm not listening to them sirens. I don't care my house on fire. That don't make sense. We work together. I think I said enough. I just hope that we can be one. That's what Jesus prayed for. He ain't talking about, oh, abusing my Baptist church. Nah, no one. No, we talking about the unity of the body of Christ, that we all be one. That's what he's praying for. He ain't talking about the world. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be. Because you can finally walk in the light as he is in the light. You can have fellowship with God. If you ain't walking in light, you don't have no fellowship. 1 Peter 3:12, his eyes over those who are righteous, his ears open to their prayers, but his face is against them that are not in the light. What's the light? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, who the God of this world have blinded the eyes of them that they may not believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel. You got to walk in the gospel. Unity is a part of that. But if you're a visitor, you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to be. You got to hear the gospel. The gospel is the glorious light. That is the light that the world didn't comprehend. And we can see all of the men in the book of Acts, they got murdered. Because the light shining in the darkness, they couldn't comprehend it. You can finally get that unity. You can finally get that life that Jesus came to give us. He came, he gave us liberty. And you can pursue a home in heaven where your tears will be wiped away. No more pain. You can be a Christian this afternoon, this night. You got to repent for your sins. You got to decide, I don't want to be a slave to sin no more. I'm tired of serving sin. I'm going to take these chains off. You can do that today. Confess. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Get baptized for the remission of your sins. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Not by any righteous work that we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the spirit. You can come out of here with a new spirit. Go home and sleep good. Baptism also not save us. Not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. You can go home and sleep good. Come now while together we stand and sing.